George Osborne has given his final autumn statement of this Parliament on Wednesday, and so far it appears to have been received pretty well. But as ever with these economic announcements, the devil lies in the detail. So to start off, Fraser, can you tell us what your perceptions are of the statement? Is it as good as everyone's saying it is?
I'm not sure it's good or bad, really. What we saw today was yet again the hard, heavy lifting being shunted further down the road. I mean, when George Osborne started off, he'd say that he'd only have about 5% of the fiscal consolidation done after the election. Now, more than 50% of it is to be done after the election. He's delayed time and time again. And I'm left wondering if we're ever going to get rid of this deficit. It was supposed to be gone in 5 years. It hasn't. Now we're told at the end of the decade. But that's based on some pretty heroic and frankly incredible, as in not credible, assumptions about the British government machine shrinking to the lowest level in 80 years. I cannot see that happening after the next election.
Well, obviously the Conservatives, they've cut, as they would say, quite a lot, but the amount that's left to be cut after the election is absolutely huge. You know, £10 billion of Whitehall efficiencies is one thing that was mentioned today. If the Conservatives can't do this, Labour haven't got a chance, have they?
Well, they've cut 3% from total government spending. That's how much has been cut. Whether that's a lot or a little depends on your own interpretation. But it's true that we're not even halfway through the fiscal consolidation, or to put it in other terms, the spending reform that needed to be done. It has been watered down, it's been delayed. And George Osborne, if he was sitting here, he might say, well, it had to be watered down, it had to be delayed, otherwise I would not have won the next general election. Now, I'm not really going to get involved in the politics here. To me, I'm looking at the economics. And the economics mean that Britain has tried to fight the debt, and the debt won.
Well, we'll come to the politics now. And James, in your column in the magazine this week, you say this is another example of the very political nature of George Osborne on show here. Is this his most politicised economic announcement yet, do you think?
Well, I mean, that's pretty high bar to clear for him, in that all of his acts as Chancellor have been highly political. I thought what was striking for me about this statement was how defensive it was, how it tried to close down Tory vulnerabilities. So we have an extra £2 billion for the NHS to try and shut off that Labour attack. You know, Labour's pledge to spend £2.5 billion more carries a lot less punch, I think, today than it did when it was announced at conference because of that extra money going in. And you had an attempt to kind of shoot Labour and the Lib Dems' fox on the mansion tax. But this reform of stamp duty turns it into a far more progressive system. It's essentially a kind of mini mansion tax when you buy a property. And watch for fiscal drag on this, because they at the moment are saying that, you know, there's anyone buying a house that is worth less than 930,000 pounds will pay less stamp duty. But there's also no mechanism for uprating this. So with the way that house price inflation is going, I think you'll find far more houses getting dragged into these higher bands. But I think that Osborne thinks that now, which is kind of not really credible for Labour and the Lib Dems to keep on going for mansion tax. I think the Tories think they've kind of closed down this vulnerability that their Labour and the Lib Dems kind of pat them as kind of friends of the rich who don't want to make their donors pay more.
I think James summed it up. Closing down vulnerability. Is that what this autumn statement was all about? Ed Balls is proposing a mansion tax, so George Osborne comes up with a stamp duty, which effectively is a tax on buying mansions, not a tax on owning them. Labour's talking about the NHS. Well, George Osborne's going to borrow some more money and give it to the NHS. So he's using the old sort of Blair-style triangulation. And in doing so, of course, British politics shifts to the left with every budget he gives. He did have the option of standing up today and saying, look at corporation tax, I've cut it from 28% to 21%. Radical, conservative and effective, because corporation tax receipts are up by 6%. You could have said, look at the tax for the richest. They didn't want me to cut it, but I did. As a result, the richest are bearing the highest burden of income tax than at any time in our history. But rather than defend the good things that he did, he was quiet about them and chose to make lots of concessions to Labour territory. So this is the sort of hug your enemy kind of approach to winning an election. again, this is about election tactics. I don't think it's about good economics, because I think, by and large, George Osborne's conservative policies are right and Ed Bowles' policies are wrong. If you make a concession and move towards Ed Bowles, you're moving in the wrong direction.
Well, there's obviously one thing that I know you will not approve of in the autumn statement today, Fraser, which is how the borrowing is going and how the deficit has changed, because Osborne has essentially painted this quite well of saying that, you know, going forward in the future, borrowing is going to be less, tax receipts are going to be better. But right now, the picture's not very good. Good for him, especially compared to his plan A.
Well, he always says the tax receipts are going to be... Well, we've been promised jam tomorrow from every Chancellor of the Exchequer for the last 10 years. I mean, you know, but let's look at the good news, because there was some in this autumn statement. Employment is incredible. I mean, the forecasts, even of his budget back in April, have been made to look completely pessimistic. The job creation miracle is ongoing. It's phenomenal. And also, you know, the number of people out of tax, that's good. And he's increased the tax threshold again. That's welcome. He's cut tax for kids who are going on holiday. You know, as a father of three, I quite welcome that. So there are some things he's done, you know, which are good. But the overall tone of it is not the sort of confidence conservatism that I would have hoped he would have been able to produce so close to a general election.
James, politically, how is this going down so far in Westminster? I know we're recording this only a few hours after Osborne spoke, but how are Conservative MPs and how are Labour feeling about what's been announced today?
I was just talking to a cabinet minister about it, and a Tory cabinet minister about it, and I think there is a sense on the Tory side that they think this gets to help them get the conversation back to the economy. They're pleased that they can now say the deficit's falling by half. I mean, they feel that I think there was some worry even in the cabinet that the deficit numbers might be far worse than the ones that Osborne announced today. And I mean, there's also a sense that, you know, Osborne's learned from these, you know, the good publicity he got for his penny off beer duty a few years back. Every budget now has a nice little cheap and cheerful sweetener in it for the voters, and this one is APD, you know, no kids on foreign holidays, on planes, flights, not having to pay this tax. So I mean, you see those kind of things. But I mean, the challenge that Tories have is to keep the political conversation on the economy. If they're going to win, that's what they have to do. You know, I think, you know, it is quite remarkable that last autumn the Tories chased Labour around on the energy price freeze. You know, they spent far too long dancing to their opponent's tune then. And this autumn they spent far too long chasing UKIP around on immigration and dancing to their tune.
And do you, can you imagine any kind of poll bump, or is that not really what this is about?
Well, I think it is what it's about, but not in the immediate short term. I don't think this is not something designed to kind of get a boost in the polls this Sunday. But I think they believe that this will help them gain what they call crossover in the new year when they move, you know, structurally ahead of Labour. I think one of the other things that has happened...
Crossover in what way?
That when their polling number becomes higher than Labour on the graph.
And this is going to happen in the new year?
I think they hope that this will happen in the new year.
And then that will stay through to the election, is that the idea?
Exactly.
Something to look forward to.
And I think there's on Fraser's point about the leftward shift in British politics. I think this is one of the other things that's happened. I mean, the Tory party has been trying to work out where to get some extra votes from. You know, it has been stuck polling in the low 30s for much of this parliament, essentially since the 2012 budget. How do you get out of that rut? I think for a long time they thought they could get UKIP voters back. That's part of the reason they chased UKIP around on immigration for so long. I think that calculation has now changed, and they are now going for soft Labour voters. And I think we will see. So I think that's. I think Fraser might not like it, but I think we will see a lot more of his attempt to occupy not what Fraser would call the common ground, but the centre ground of British politics. So more Tory stuff on the NHS and the like.